There are about three different ways, maybe four, that people learn. Did you know that? We have different kinds of learners. We have people that can learn by reading. Some of you read stuff and you look at it and you say, huh? And if you are, you're not a reading kind of a learner. But a lot of folks can just sit and read and they can really gain from it. Okay? A lot of folks are auditory. You know what that word means? All right, they can hear. All right, so they listen. And as they listen, they can pick up. So what goes in the ear makes more sense to them than what, you know, goes through the eyes through reading. There are some people, believe this or not, they are motion learners. Do you know what that is, Mindy? Do you know what it is? Acting it out, but they must be moving. They must be moving while they're... You're one of those, all right? And so one of those kind of guys, if he's pacing back and forth, he might be learning better than sitting still. Okay? So everybody's a little bit different. So when we come to a place like this and we're in a church service, there's a couple of things that can take place in that. And one of those is, of course, as we read the Scriptures we read. And we're going to look at that tonight in the book of Joshua in chapter 2. So we look at those. We want people to come and to look at those. By the way, everybody can improve in some of those areas. In our day and age, a lot of people are auditory because they've not really trained themselves in the other because of the media that we have today and we hear so much. So we have these two gates, if you please, to get into the mind. So basically, in a church service, we're going to do those. Once in a while, we'll do some action things. Sometimes we do some other things with visual aids and so forth. And some preachers, they're good at being a visual aid themselves. And everybody's a little bit different, okay? So we have all these different things. So tonight, we're going to look here in the book of Joshua. And one of the things we find when we're learning is that a story kind of can get into all of those areas. And we're going to read a story tonight that is going to help us, I hope, to understand a very good principle and doctrine from the Word of God. So we're going to look at the story of a woman named Rahab. Anybody know who Rahab was? Anybody know what her occupation was? Rahab was a harlot. She was a prostitute. She sold her body. And it was not what is right. It's not what is good. And yet we find something from this account that is just tremendous. And that is that God loves us no matter who we are. No matter what we have done in our life, God still loves us in spite of that. And God not only loves us, but God will extend His grace to us. He wants to forgive us if we will seek that. So we're going to see this in the story of Rahab. Book of Joshua, chapter number 2. Book of Joshua, chapter number 2. And I'm going to read just a portion of this. Maybe I'll get all of it. I'm not sure. Let's start in verse number 1. Joshua chapter number 2. And listen to this. And Joshua the son of Nun. That's N-U-N. Not N-O-N-E. Okay. The son of Nun sent out of Shittim two men to spy secretly, saying, "Go view the land, even Jericho." And they went and came into a harlot's house named Rahab and lodged there. Is this movement learning? Or is it movement distraction? Distraction. Let's work on learning. Okay? Thumbs up. I'll go with that one. All right. So they went. They came to this harlot's house. There was two spies. It was told the king of Jericho, saying, "Behold, there came men in hither tonight of the children of Israel to search out the country." And the king of Jericho sent unto Rahab, saying, "Bring forth the men that are come to thee, which are entered into thine house, for they be come to search out all the country." And the woman took the two men, hid them, and said, there came men unto me, but I wist not whence they were. And it came to pass about the time of the shutting of the gate, when it was dark, that the men went out. Whither the men went, I want not. Pursue after them quickly, for ye shall overtake them. But she had brought them up to the roof of the house, hid them with stalks of flax, which she had laid in order upon the roof. And the men pursued after them the way to Jordan and the fords, and as soon as they which pursued after them were gone out, they shut the gate. And before they were laid down, she came up to them upon the roof. And she said to the men, I know that the Lord hath given you the land, and that your terror is fallen upon us, and that all the inhabitants of the land faint because of you. Let's stop and review just a moment. Let's see what you learned. How many men came? How many men came? Well, that was a tough question, wasn't it? All right, two men came. What nation were they from? No? What? What nation? All right, they went to Jericho. Very good. All right, they went to Jericho. But they are of the nation of, do you know? Israel. Okay. Israel is not in their land yet. It's full of what we would call Canaanites. Jericho, by the way, is in the land that Israel is going to take over. Question? Somebody coughed and I didn't hear you. No, Bethlehem is nearby. Okay? But Jericho's the first city that they come to when they cross over the Jordan River. But before they go across the Jordan River, they've sent these two spies in, and they come to Jericho, and this woman, she's saying to them, hey, we've heard about you people. We have heard how you came out of Egypt. We've heard how God was with you. And she says, I believe God's going to use you to defeat our nation and defeat our city. That's what she's saying. So, as we go on here, where did I leave off? Verse 10. He said, for we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when you came out of Egypt, and what you did to the two kings of the Amorites who were on the other side, Jordan, Sihon and Og, whom ye utterly destroyed. And as soon as we heard these things, our hearts did melt, neither did there remain any more courage in any man because of you. For the Lord your God, He is God in heaven above and in earth beneath. Let me read that again. I want you to tell me, what does this mean? She says this, the Lord your God, He is God in heaven above and in earth beneath you. What is she saying about God? Oh, no, no. What is she saying about God? He is God in heaven above and in earth beneath. Heaven above and earth beneath. He is saying, or she is saying, your God is the real God. She's in a land of people who do not believe in the God of heaven. But she does. Now notice what it says. Now therefore I pray you, swear unto me thy Lord, since I have showed you kindness, that you also show kindness unto my father's house, and give me a true token. And that ye will save alive my father and my mother and my brethren and my sisters and all that they have, and deliver our lives from death. What we find that takes place in this story, it's a beautiful story, is that when the children of Israel come to the city of Jericho, they march around it 6 days, one time. On the seventh day, they march around the city 7 times. So after 13 trips around the city, they blow the trumpets, they give a great shout, and the walls of Jericho fall down. Excavation has told us that the walls of Jericho did not fall inwardly as they would if they were being pushed in. They exploded. In other words, they fell outwardly. And the children of Israel, when those walls came down, went up because they were surrounded a city, and they went in and they utterly slew the inhabitants of that city, except for one woman and all the people that were in her house. When they left, and we haven't read it, when they left, they said to her, because her house was built on the wall, they said to her, when they took a cord and they came down the wall, they scaled the wall from the outside by that cord. And by the way, it just happened to be a scarlet cord. purple. And so as they scaled down, or reddish really, and as they scaled down it, they said to her, leave this cord in this window and we will remember where your house is at, and anybody who's inside of your house, they will be saved when we come back. And so on that day, when they marched around there those seven times and the walls fell down and the children of Israel went in, we find the Bible records that all the people who were inside of Rahab's house, they were saved alive. That's a tremendous story that we find out of the Word of God. It's a remarkable story. She's a harlot who has accepted the God of Israel. One of the things that we find as we study Scriptures is this. She is then in the lineage of Christ. She becomes one of those that are what we might call a great, 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 how many soul of the Lord Jesus Christ. She is the great grandmother to David. She is included in Hebrews chapter 11 that we sometimes call the Great Hall of Faith. Verse 31 says, by faith the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believe not, when she had received the spies with peace. Her story is an illustration of the grace of God in the midst of some of the most severe judgments ever to come upon mankind. You see, God had told Israel that they were to possess this land. God had reserved it for them. However, it was full of inhabitants. These inhabitants were people who believed in many different gods, not the God of heaven. And they were polytheists, if you please. They believed in many gods. And so when God is going to take them in to this land, He is going to use Israel to bring judgment upon all of these peoples. But in the midst of all this judgment and all these people being destroyed because of their ungodly ways, we find that this woman is saved in the midst of it. She and her household are spared. I want us to stop and think about something. What caused all of that? When we look at the book of Hebrews, it says by faith. In other words, it was what she believed. It was who she believed that was very important. A lot of folks, they say, right now we're in this political season, a lot of folks say, well, it doesn't matter what you believe. But it does. Because that is who you are. I mean, if you believe tonight, Tony, really stop and think about it. If you believe tonight you were a dog. If you really believed you were a dog tonight. Now be nice to Tony. Tony's he's a mean dog. But if you were a dog, you would probably begin to act like a dog. He doesn't need any help from the rest of you. You're not a dog. You're not a dog. He's the dog, all right? So he'd probably start acting like the dog. But seriously, we use that kind of a crazy illustration. But we act like what we believe. So here's a woman that what she believes becomes very, very important. And so I want us to think about this tonight. Her faith, how did she get it? How did she get her faith? How are you going to believe something? First of all and foremost, listen, if we are going to have faith, it's going to come about because of what we hear and we reason it. Our faith develops on what we hear and the reasoning from that. She had heard of the exploits of God with the Israelites. We read that in verses 9, 10, 11. She had heard what had happened at the Red Sea. She had heard about Og and those kings. She had heard what the children of Israel had accomplished. And her heart had melted as a result of that. And she believed what she had heard. Faith can never be exercised in that which we do not hear. The Bible says this, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Is it important for us to come into a church service or to sit and talk with people about the Lord? Very definitely. Our faith is never going to even start until we hear about God. Mine began as a young boy with my mother telling me about God. And I believed what she told me. That is faith. When we hear something that somebody who is reputable tells us, we are very likely to believe them. So faith must what? First come about as a result of our hearing. Those we hear from have either witnessed an event or have heard it maybe from another one, and they believe it so much that they wanted to pass it on. It's imperative, by the way, if you know Christ tonight, to talk about Him to others. If you believe it, then we're going to pass that on. A lot of folks say, well, I don't want to hear what you believe. But when we really believe it's going to be a part of our lives, and we're going to, how can we help but tell it? Faith, by the way, isn't about being blind. She'd even reasoned. It's not where we just accept it without investigating, but she reasoned with this thing. She understood some things. She began to think about it and what God had done through these people. That's interesting in light of what the Bible says in the book of Isaiah when He says, come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. If what we hear of God, from the Word of God especially, and from people who really know God, and then we take those things and think about them, it begins to make sense. We need to reason with the facts of our sin. We need to reason with the facts of our ultimate judgment. We need to reason, stop and think about that. And that's exactly what she was seeing. And when we see the horrible results of our sin and realize how terrorizing that is to our being, we're more ready to turn from it and to turn unto the Lord. But her faith came about as a result of her hearing. Her faith then made request for mercy. Because she believed in the God, and the God who was able to do these things for the land of Israel. Now she's asking these spies, whom to her represent God, for their mercy. Anybody in this room 19? You're 19? Me? You're close? Okay. When I was 19 years of age, I came to know Christ as my Savior. It was not until that point that that happened. And there was some thoughts that went through my mind, and I'd been taught many different things. But at that point, after I'd reasoned, after I'd figured out, hey, I've got sin in my life, there's judgment on my sin, I made a request to God. I asked Him for His mercy, for His grace. I wanted what He had. Because I realized what I didn't have. God tonight is holy. It's a word we don't often understand. It means completely without sin. If God is completely without sin, if we come into His presence, what's going to happen? I'm sorry, I didn't hear you. You're thinking ahead of me. Okay? But I appreciate that. If we were in the presence of God with our sin, then we have tainted God. God must do something with our sin before we come into His presence. It must be judged. But here's the neat part. It's judged if we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's judged in Him for us. Upon that cross of Calvary, 2,000 years ago, the Lord Jesus Christ hung and He died. Do you ever think about why did he die? Why didn't he die for himself? He had no sin. The wages of sin is death. Isn't that true? That's why we die. When God made Adam and Eve, he didn't make them to die. But he did say this, in the day ye shall eat thereof. In other words, in the day you sin, then ye shall surely die. What was he telling Adam and Eve? Sin will cause death. The Lord Jesus Christ did not have death. Now here's the neat thing. When Jesus hung upon that cross, the Bible teaches us that upon Him our sins was imputed. In other words, our sins was placed on. He died for ours. Now when you and I will believe what He did for us, this is incredible to me. I don't have to do anything with it. All I got to do is believe it. When I will believe that by faith, when I will request then to God for that salvation, just as Rahab said to these spies, will you save me? When I ask God, will you save me? He will do it. Just as much as these Israelites saved Rahab and all those that were inside her house. She made her request for mercy, just like you and I can do. God makes a promise to us. And that promise is that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And if we will call, He will save. Now there was a promise made to Rahab. And the promise was, if you'll leave this cord hanging in your window when we come, we will save you. That's interesting. That was a scarlet cord. What's the color of blood? Scarlet. Interesting. And so it was a picture, in a sense, of the streaming blood of Christ upon the cross of Calvary. And as that cord hung there and they came and the walls fell down, guess what part of the wall did not fall down? Her house. That was the only portion that did not fall down. And they were saved. So she made her request and that promise was made and the promise was kept. And it's the same thing for you and I when we will make our request to God. So we're an awful lot like this woman here. Very sinful woman. Very sinful woman. I'll take these three girls over. Any of you girls not sinful? Any of you girls perfect? You're exactly right. There isn't anybody perfect. I went to a house one time and the woman, I was trying to explain that to her and she says, I've never done anything wrong in my life. I have done everything exactly right. I am good. I did something I shouldn't have done. You know what I did? I said, I'd like to ask your husband what he thinks about this. And she grabbed the door to slam it in my face. I put my hand up to stop it and I said, ma'am, you're angry. You've sinned. And then I let her push the door on shut because she was bound determined to do it. You have another question? Well, we're exactly right because he could not die for your sins if he was dying for his. And so he took all of ours upon him. He wasn't dying for his, he was for ours. We don't know. We know that she brought her family into her house. We don't know how many. But everybody who was in there. Okay? In fact, I'm going to get that in just a moment because it's my last point because it's a very, very valid point. I want you to think about something else here. She separated herself from the rest of the world and stayed in that house until that moment of salvation. You and I, when we put our trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, we're going to separate ourselves from the things of the world. This woman didn't practice harlotry anymore. It changed her life. And as we noted a while ago, she got married and she became the great-grandmother to David, the great king of Israel. Now, to answer part of your question, her decision also was effective in the lives of others. Her testimony, by the way, was their only chance. If they would not have listened to her, what would have happened? They would have been dead. So their faith was built by listening to her. They believed her enough to be in that house that night. Your testimony becomes very important. Let me ask you this, though. Are you believable? Are you believable? Do you have the life that when you tell somebody something, they just say, "My goodness, that is true"? That becomes very important. Many of us in this room, I imagine all of us in this room, have friends and relatives that if we don't tell them about Christ and their need of Him, they won't be on the inside. And they need to hear from us. Just as Rahab, who was a harlot, God changed her life and she began to bring her family in and they believed her. We'll go back a few years and we think of another guy and his name was Lot. And some of you know what I'm going to say with this. Lot was a man who went to a city called Sodom and also Gomorrah. They were very wicked cities. We get the term sodomy from that, which is homosexuality is what it amounts to. And we find that this man, when the angels came to tell him, "You need to get out of here because we're going to destroy this city because of its wickedness," Lot left with his wife and two daughters. But we know that there were other daughters and son-in-laws that would not listen to him. They were destroyed because they wouldn't listen, because he wasn't believable. He was a believer, but he wasn't believable. That is a horrible thing as we stop and think about it. So God wants you and I to also to tell others. If your faith does not cause you to walk with God, it's of no value to anybody else. That's why God has left us here, to be valuable in the lives of other people. Some of you, you're here tonight because somebody invited you. And actually, we could probably all say that. Isn't that true? There was somewhere back there somewhere, somebody invited us. And somebody invited us to come to Christ. And because we saw a difference in their life, or we understood that what they were saying was true, we said, "Hey, listen, I'm going to listen to this. I'm going to think about it. I'm going to reason this thing in my mind." And you allowed God to work in your heart and your life and change you. Now, if those changes are lived outwardly, then you're going to speak to somebody else and they're going to believe you too. It's really kind of a neat thing when we stop and think about it. But here's a woman that God took and saved her hell-deserving soul, and she became a witness for others. And not only for those that were there, there's an interesting verse in the book of James where it talks about though he be dead, yet speaketh. And though she's long been gone, the story is still for us here to talk about. So this is a great story. You can make application to your life and yours and yours and yours and yours. I can make it to mine. God has grace for us. Amen? Now here's another question. Have you accepted that? Have you believed that? For if you don't believe it, you won't be inside the house when the judgment comes. How do you get inside the house? You've got to believe it. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Saved from having to die for your sins, go to eternal hell separated from God. Just that simple. And I will say to anybody here tonight, if that be true in your life, when I dismiss in prayer, would you come and speak to me? Because I'd like to talk to you about that. One-on-one. Okay? Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Now I got a little announcement to make too. Father, thank you so much tonight for your goodness. Thank you that you have so loved us that we can have everlasting life because of what you did on the cross of Calvary. Lord God, I thank you tonight that we have these great, wonderful stories like Rahab that teach us this wonderful truth. Lord, how glorious it is to realize that we can be on the inside. We can have the protection of God from the judgment that comes simply by believing you. Lord, I pray that you'll work in every heart. Bless as we go our separate ways tonight. We ask it in Christ's name. Amen.